This is the Business Storytelling Show, a top global marketing podcast listened to in more than 100 countries, live streamed on social media, and broadcast on DBTV. Christoph Trapp chats with industry leaders to help your company tell better business stories. Here's today's episode.
Hey, business storytellers, episode 653. Let's get this party started. We're talking about email marketing today, and more specifically, ethical email marketing. And what is that? Is it the people that just email me nonstop every day, letting me know that I haven't bought a pizza in 2 days? Is it the people that have, I don't know, clickbaity subject lines somewhere in the middle? I don't know. I ran across Yuval Ackerman on Threads, I believe. She was talking about ethical email marketing and how do you do that. This is her website at the bottom there, AckermanCopywriting.com. You can check that out. But what goes into ethical marketing? Why is it important? And why are companies not doing it? Or maybe I'm projecting. Maybe they are. We will find out. Yuval, welcome to the show.
Hello. How's it going?
Hanging in there bright and early on Monday morning here, at least for me. I'm in the Chicago time zone. It's really nice to see you. Great to connect on Threads. And then, of course, all the other different networks. Now, tell me about email marketing. Why are you so invested and interested in that channel?
Well, personally, I am a storyteller. I've been a storyteller for the longest time, for as long as I can remember myself. And email marketing, to me, when I discovered it, I just thought, you know, this is such a great channel when done right, to tell stories and connect with people and help people. And I just think, you know, it's such a wonderful, wonderful platform to use, again, when done and used correctly.
I mean, I look at all my emails, you know, I don't look at all the tweets. I don't look at all the threads. I don't look at all the Facebook posts. I try not to go into Facebook, quite frankly. But, you know, email, I certainly look at it. And if it's not relevant, I might unsubscribe or whatnot. But it gets my attention. But what you mentioned, when it's done well. And of course, that might be a tricky definition, right? Because if a company says, hey, we're making a gazillion dollars. And yes, we're being a little spammy. But look, we're rich. Is that doing it well? Or what does that mean to do it well?
Well, when it comes to my clients and the people that I work with and the brands that I work with, for them, it's about revenue for sure, but it's also about impact. And I know that impact is some kind of a buzzword and people don't really like hearing about this, but honestly, it's all about leaving the world a better place than when and where we found it. So revenue is important, don't get me wrong. And if that's the only goal that you have out of your marketing channels in general, then by all means, that's your brand and that's how you're running the show. And I have no beef with you, but we're probably not going to be working together. The companies and brands that I work with care about connection and they care about helping the people on the other side and seeing them as the people they are with faces, with actual faces, and not just email addresses, you know, and just like numbers of how many subscribers do I have? How many sales have I generated through my emails? So it's beyond that. What is email done right? It's actually, you know, it's a very good question because it's a very individual question. Every brand can define it and should define it for themselves. But you mentioned something very, very important then, their relevant emails. So to me, ethical email marketing is sending the relevant email to the relevant person and segment at the right time. And not many brands are actually doing that nowadays, surprisingly.
You know, it is kind of surprising that that's not happening. And maybe let's kind of dig into that a little bit deeper. I mean, I get emails all the time and they're not relevant to me. And I know they're spraying and praying, right? I mean, very clearly that's what they're doing. They got me on a list and they're going to send it to me. And then sometimes, you know, they get some fact wrong. You know, I mean, I had somebody actually, this was a phone call, but they could have emailed too. And they said, oh, you've been on the waiting list to see this professional. And I'm like, I know for a fact that I was on no waiting list and that I chose to not work with her for a specific reason. Like, how about being telling you the story without all the details? But they were totally misleading, right? Like totally misleading, because if I wouldn't have remembered, I would have been like, oh, yes. Oh, right. Like, oh, I was on the waiting list. Like, let's click and let's Let's do it. So how do you figure out what's relevant? How do you figure out who the people are you should actually reach out to? I mean, how do you know?
That's probably the million-dollar question. How do you know that the people that you're emailing, you know, that's the right time for the right message? Segmentation is a huge, huge tool here that you probably need to use to your advantage and leverage. And you can segment according to so many different things. But what I like to do with my clients and our subscribers is to segment according to activity or lack thereof. Usually we're segmenting according to purchases and where everyone is at in their inbox journey. What did they click on? Did that trigger something else? What was the level of interaction with them in the past? There are many, many ways to segment your email list. It's all a matter of what are we defining that our goals are, and how do we then incorporate email marketing into those goals? So if we want to learn more about our subscribers, for example, what makes them click more on our sales emails? And I'm saying sales emails, but every email that you send out is a sales email. What makes our subscribers click more? What makes them click less? Are there subjects that we send emails about that, you know, all of a sudden make our subscribers unsubscribe, you know, at a much higher rate, which happens sometimes? So we're testing all the time. We're segmenting according to activity or lack thereof. But it's all a matter of what do we want to learn about our subscribers, and then making sure that every single subscriber gets the tag and the segment, get into the segment that we need to learn more about them. And it's all a matter of continuously getting more and more feedback and getting into a deep conversation with our subscribers to learn what works for them and what doesn't.
You know, the one example that came to my mind, we just bought a new car recently, and, you know, I'm a planner, right? Like, I go in and I got everything ready to go. And what happened is, so we wanted to test drive three cars, basically, after we looked at everything and everything we tried before. So I went to the website and I requested, you can request a test drive, right? And say what time you will be by and whatever. So I got three cars and I got three different email sequences back, or emails and texts. So not just one or the other, but both. And they all treated me like I was three different people. And they were like in two different states, right? The three cars. And I'm like, you know about me, who I am. Like, you know, it's me. You also know that I literally requested these within probably 30 seconds of each other, maybe 10 seconds even. Like, you know that. But you still can't get it right that I'm the same person. I'm in one location, not two locations. And so it's like, you know, I'm a creator. I'm not a marketing ops person. I'm not like, I mean, I know some technical things, but how do you get the technical stuff right and marry that with the right copy and have everybody be on the same page?
It's a very good question, because it's a matter of what strategy are we developing, and then how do we make sure that the tech is following suit, right? What it sounds to me like is that, and correct me if I'm wrong, obviously, it sounds to me like you filled in one form, and then you ticked a few boxes within the same form, and then they just sent you three different sequences. Is that right for me to assume so?
Well, you know, that would make sense. But actually, the way it works is you have to click on the picture or whatever for each car and say, schedule a test drive. So I get it. There are different lanes, right? But at the end of the day, if somebody requests three test drives within 30 seconds of each other, they're not going to want to do that in two different states, right? It's the same person. So yeah, it's not a form, but it's actually three different workflows they probably put you into, quite frankly.
Okay. Now it makes more sense. So what I would probably advise this brand to do is to look at their unsubscribe rate, because I assume it's pretty high, even though it's not my job to assume anything. If this is a recurring problem, and it might be for that brand, they need to go into their, you know, email service provider and look at the stats and see, okay, what is the engagement rate with those three different sequences? If what you described is exactly what's happening, then obviously people are getting annoyed and unsubscribe quite fast. So it sounds to me like even a delay with some kind of a, in some cases it's a third party integration, in some cases it's not, a delay that then scans all of the activity of the same user and then redirecting the same user to one consolidated, solidified email sequence would be the right thing. But it's, again, that's something that brands don't realize that they're doing because someone didn't really think the whole thing through. And it's something that I'm seeing quite a lot because brands are not really conversing with their subscribers, which is quite frankly astonishing to me, because without our subscribers, do we really have a justification to email them? Like, without understanding where they're at, what their feedback is like, how can we cater better to them, can we really email them? That's a question that I know the answer to, but maybe our audience can think about. And you know, it's a matter of strategy. It's where I always start the tech, you know. Very important. If you don't implement the strategy properly, then you're in trouble as well. But if your strategy, which is a step beforehand, is not even considering all of those loopholes and all of those different variations of the user experience and the inbox experience, then we might have a problem.
Yeah, it's just very interesting how you kind of marry all those different areas of working with people, trying to reach out to them, trying to connect with them. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, if somebody, I mean, there's a balance, right? If somebody is super annoying and you really want the product and that's the only place you're going to get it, you might give them a little bit more leeway. But the more competitive things get, right, you have to build that relationship. And I can't actually think of very many industries or products or anything where it's not competitive, right? I mean, you mm-hmm. don't need to buy an iPhone. You can go to Android. You can, I mean, there's like, even in that scenario, there is competition. So very interesting on how do you kind of figure out where that line is? How do you do ethical email marketing, which is what I want to talk about now for a little bit. That's how we connected. You were talking about ethical email marketing on Threads. What is that all about? Why is that important? And I mean, how'd you come up with that being one of your focuses?
Sure. So I will start with the last part of your question, because I think that would be the easiest thing for me to explain. So when I started my business, I've done a bunch of different things in marketing, content writing, and copywriting. And then my clients nudged me into specializing. And I thought that was the right place, the right time for me to choose one. And email marketing just seemed like the thing that I'm drawn to the most, just because of the ease and the playfulness that email marketing allows in terms of gamification and making sure that different subscribers get different experiences directly delivered to their inbox, which is where supposedly, hopefully, they hang out and they ask to be communicated with. And so I really had I had trouble with email marketing as a concept because for decades it's been abused, spamming people, just spraying and praying, as you said. And I just walked around with this thought of how do I make sure that before I even explain it to the world, what I do and how I do things, how do I explain this to myself that I want to do this? And ethical email marketing to me was the solution for all of that, because in a sense, ethical email marketing is the future, but it's also the past. We're going back to basics. We're making sure that we're communicating with our subscribers one-to-one to many. And we're making sure that we develop a conversation with them and we get feedback from them and we cater to them while trying to push the envelope a little bit at the time. So obviously email marketing is something that every brand that knows the power of email marketing incorporates, but it's a matter of how. And I discovered that for not only for myself as a person, but also as a list owner and, you know, someone who has an email list and manages her own email list, when you do things ethically, then the results that you get when you understand where your subscribers are at and how to cater to them, the results are astounding. They're twice and three and five times sometimes more than the industry benchmarks. If we're talking about an average open rate of 20-ish percent and an average click-through of about 2%, depends on whichever benchmark and report, then with ethical email marketing, what I'm seeing with my clients is twice as much, like the open rate is twice as high. The click-through rate is sometimes like five times as high. So it's really not about, you know, spamming and spraying and praying. It's all about really listening to our subscribers and understanding what is it that they expected from us in the first place and how can we better their experience with us as senders. I might have forgotten some of your other questions, so if I've skipped anything, then please do remind me.
If I remember them, I will ask them again. But okay. You know, fair point. So you kind of taken a stand certainly on a topic, and I would argue that most people would find it hard to argue against that, right? Of course, who wants to do the right thing? I mean, like, nobody's ever going to say that publicly. But at the end of the day, taking such a strong stand on an important topic, I mean, does that help you find the right clients? Like the people that just want to create some spammy campaign, they don't even reach out to you because they know you're just going to turn them away? Or how does that affect business overall to take that stand?
Well, I definitely believe in marketing that attracts the right people and repels the wrong ones. And so far, I've been successful in 90-something percent of the cases. I don't get all kinds of weird requests of, can you come up with a, you know, a strategy for a sequence that, you know, sends emails every day without any prior research, feedback, and stats to come up with the strategy to support that strategy. I would definitely say that that kind of stance is helping me very much so in talking with and being exposed to the right audience.
I mean, that's great to hear. And then as you are creating ethical email marketing campaigns, like, how does that look in practice? Does it come back? I mean, so like when I create campaigns, right, or really any content, I always play it back to what the strategy is, right? Okay, does that actually help the strategy? Do we have to do that? What's the right language? You know, I use some tools like subjectline.com, for example, you know, to look if my subject lines are okay and those kind of things. But like, how does it come in as you are creating campaigns? Like, is it as important as talking about the strategy, or how does that play into the day-to-day?
That's interesting. I think that the campaigns that you then create have to rely on the strategy, right? So if the strategy is off, if you don't know what you're creating and why, then obviously your campaigns would not really be right either. It's a matter of constantly testing and figuring out, okay, how do we infuse, for my clients at least, you know, that's the framework that I work with, which is fans. We are thinking of how do we inject fun into the process? How do we further segment our audience according to their activity? And as I said, lack of activity. And then how do we network with our subscribers? How do we make sure that we are hearing the feedback, not only through the stats that we're seeing in our email service providers, but how do we really get to know our subscribers? So for some of my clients, it would be as simple as incorporating feedback forms at the bottom of their emails. And we're getting really, really valuable qualitative feedback from our subscribers. For some other clients of mine, it's communities on Slack or even Facebook or Discord, and making sure that we're hearing from our top subscribers or having like a secret club for top engagers. So when we're creating campaigns, I would say that is actually the easy part, because once you have a plan and you know what makes your subscribers click, then that's rather easy.
Very interesting. You know, we have a few minutes left here. Let's maybe talk for, I don't know, 90 seconds or 2 minutes roughly about frequency. And I'm thinking about some people, like, I really like their content. I love what they're doing. But at some point, it's like, I don't need to read about it like every day or not even every 3 days. you know? So like, what is the right frequency? But I also get that they want to stay in front of people and people don't pay attention every time they see them. But what's the right frequency to, you know, when it comes to email marketing as you're pushing people along?
Sure. So my answer will be a twofold, actually. First of all, just like what is ethical, no one can really define what is ethical or what is the right frequency for your audience. Your audience will set the tone. So that's the first part of my answer. And the second part of my answer just links back to the strategy. If you are an audience-first marketer, what you want to do with those kinds of emails is give a preference center before the unsubscribe button and let your subscribers decide what is the experience that they want. Do they want a weekly, a daily, a monthly email from you? All of those things are very, very easy to incorporate in your email marketing service provider. And that makes sure, you know, that ensures that your subscribers are defining and redefining their inbox experience as they see fit without necessarily unsubscribing from your list.
Really quickly, how do you feel about unsubscribing people when they haven't read your email officially or clicked on something? Do you like that kind of strategy or not?
It's one way to do things. It's not the only way to do things. And I definitely urge everyone who thinks about scrubbing their list and keeping the their list health, you know, top notch, definitely urge them to think of other options and talk to me. I'm happy to show you what other options you have in store.
I personally actually don't think it's the best strategy because, I mean, there's a lot of times I read emails and I don't open the whole email, but I read the subject line, I read the pre-header, and then I read the first paragraph and I'm like, oh, super interesting. And it actually made an impression on me. And then the next email I get is, oh, you don't seem to care about our emails. And I was like, I literally just did, but you just don't know because I didn't send you a signal. So very interesting on how some of those behavior changes might impact the metrics. As always, time flies when you're having fun. Really appreciate you coming on the show. The last minute here, so tell me who should reach out to you? What kind of services do you offer? And thanks again for coming on.
First of all, thank you for having me. If you are in B Corps or have high commitment to creating impact in the world, then please do contact me. You can contact me through my website right there on the screen. You can connect with me on LinkedIn with my name or on Threads with the handle name Ethical Emails.
Thanks for tuning in. Please rate and review the Business Storytelling Show on your favorite podcast platform and subscribe so you don't miss the next episode. See you then.